It's called Jum'ah because on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all His creatures and asked them and invited them to make a covenant with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family and his vicegerent, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam. So because all the creatures gathered together, this day is called Al-Jum'ah. The Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, The chosen day is a day of Friday, and verse 3 of chapter Buruj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. Shahid is referring to Friday, and Mashhud is referring to the day of Arafah, which
That's
is
right.
Another significant day in the year. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that on Friday, if you walk toward the Friday prayer, then your body would be prohibited for fire, meaning that you are immune from the hellfire. And those who say the Friday prayer on the first line, then it is as if they have said their prayer with the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
To share one more narration, the Holy Prophet says the Friday is the best day. If you do righteous actions, then your reward would be doubled. And on that day, your prayers are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, to just share one more narration, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen one thing out of everything, and out of the days he has chosen the Friday.
Okay. When you get into the Shiite theology, Friday and the night before that, especially for those who visit the tomb of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, has a specific, we can say, and separate story.
Exactly.
The case is that, for example, the night before Friday, they say that all the angels and the deceased prophets also pay a visit from heaven to the tomb of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in Karbala. And also the day of Friday is very much, especially in the afternoon, attributed to Imam As. Are these authentic resources and references or not?
There are at least two reasons why Jum'ah is called the day of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and is attributed to him. According to Shaykh Tabrizi in An-Najm al-Thaqib, he says that there are some reasons that people attribute the day of Friday to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One of them is that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was born on a Friday. And second of all, according to many narrations, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will reappear on a Friday too. And this has been mentioned in one supplication. So that supplication is one of the reasons why we attribute Friday to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. In that we read, Ya Mawla, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, addressing Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, we say, Hada Yawmul Jum'ah, this is Friday, Wahuwa Yawmuk al-Mutawakka'u Fihi Zuhuruk, this is your day in which we are expecting and we are waiting for your reappearance, Wal Faraj Fihi lil-Mu'mineen ala Yadik, and the relief of the believers through you. So according to this narration and this ziyarah, this dua, the day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday, is attributed to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam because he will reappear on a Friday. This is one. And the second one is that, according to some other narrations, each day is attributed to one of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, one or more than one. In a narration, Imam Hadi, our 10th Imam, is quoted as saying that Saturday is attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. And that is why we have a special dua for and a special ziyarah for the Prophet on Saturdays. Sunday to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and according to some narrations to him and Lady Fatimah Zahra salamullahi alayha. Monday for Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Thursday for Imam Sajjad, Imam Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Wednesday for Imam Kazim, Imam al-Rida, Imam al-Jawad and Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Thursday for Imam Askari, and Friday for Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So according to this narration, it seems that they are giving us just, an opportunity for every day to get connected to our imams.
Yes.
Like on Saturday to remember our Prophet, on Sunday to remember Imam Ali and Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayhima, and the next days, and on Friday to specifically remember Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. So it seems that based on these two or three points that I mentioned, Friday can be attributed to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and can be called a day related to Imam Mahdi.
But in the Shiite references, is there any, direct talk about, for example, Imam As reappearing on Friday or Friday afternoon, evening, or something like that?
No.
I don't think so.
We do not have about Friday afternoon.
Yes.
The point about Friday afternoon is that for that time, you have a special supplications like Duha Samad.
Yes.
And the other point is that it is mentioned that the believers in the afternoon of the Friday, because they come to know that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam did not reappear in the morning.
Okay.
So they might be sad. But the point is that when it comes to the day of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, yes. We have some narrations to say that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will reappear on Friday, but there is another group of the narrations which say that Imam Mahdi will reappear on a Saturday. And there, it's a matter of discussion among the scholars, which one is true. It seems that the majority of scholars believe in Friday. Believe in the narrations talking about Friday as the day of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And of course, maybe a minority of the scholars who prefer the narrations referring to Saturday.
And any supplication recommended to be read out on this day, on Friday, for example?
Yeah, as I mentioned,
you said Dua Samad, for example, for the afternoon. But
yeah,
what about
it's not related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
General.
But as I mentioned, for each day, if people refer to Mafatih al-Jinan, there is a ziyarah, there is a dua related to each day. And for example, the Saturday for the Prophet, Sunday for Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the next of the rest of the days for one of the infallible Imams or more than one. And for Friday, there is also a supplication related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and may Allah hasten his reappearance.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of the day of Friday and why is it attributed to Imam Asr. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
EU leaders at a summit in Brussels agreed China is becoming too assertive. It's the same phrase they have been using for years with respect to Russia. Iran was also in their sights. New restrictive measures against Tehran were rubber stamped.
Sanctions have been taken against those who are participating in the repression of peaceful demonstrations, and this, of course, is linked to the support of Russia against Ukraine.
Analysts say the allegations against Iran are spurious and they are being vehemently contested. It's pointed out that the bloc sometimes ignores clear international law violations, even when there's zero ambiguity, for example, those perpetrated by Israel against Palestinians. The US is set to have even greater influence over the EU as the bloc moves to try and isolate Moscow and Beijing. It's suggested that has been Washington's plan all along.
Europe, they are totally dependent on the United States and in energy field and in military field. And that is dependency that doesn't allow them to conduct independent foreign policies.
Sanctions against Russia over the war in Ukraine have driven energy costs to unmanageable levels. A complex package has been agreed in principle by EU leaders to try and lower prices and demand.
There's a lot of work now ahead of us what the energy is concerned, but the roadmap is very clear. And it was good to have this unanimity, this broad support for the roadmap that we have put forward.
Leaders admit the energy package is very complex and will take up to 3 weeks to try and finalise. Will this summit deliver positive results for EU citizens? It's a crucial question for millions of households and businesses, but also a vital political question for the bloc's leaders. Extreme left and extreme right anti-EU parties are waiting in the wings. Ignoring massive corruption findings by their own financial watchdog, EU leaders have agreed to provide €18 billion to the Ukrainian government in 2023. But that's nothing compared to what they will spend on lethal weapons for the country's army. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
It's snowland at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. Snowtown is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
On
Saturday, 45-year-old Giorgia Meloni took an oath as Italy's prime minister before President Sergio Mattarella. Meloni, the country's first woman to become premier, is one of the founders and the current leader of the far-right-leaning party Brothers of Italy, the political force that spearheaded a right-wing coalition to victory in last month's general election. Besides bringing some political stability to Italy, which has seen 68 governments in its 74 years of history as a republic, Meloni will have to face a series of daunting challenges, including a looming recession, protecting Italians from surging energy bills, and reassuring the establishment about her Atlanticist and anti-Putin alignment.
Delegates from our coalition met with President Mattarella, and they agreed over the fact that there are many emergencies at national and international level, and quick answers are needed.
Italy's new Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, says her government will follow the line of NATO and the Western Alliance. Also, the new Foreign Minister, former European Parliament President Antonio Tajani, has repeatedly said he will be fully supportive of Kiev. Meloni's two main allies, media magnate Silvio Berlusconi and Matteo Salvini, are longtime admirers of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Earlier this week, a video portraying Berlusconi saying that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky should be held accountable for the conflict in Ukraine caused a stir in the political arena. Italians are hoping the new government will work for a peaceful resolution to the conflict in Ukraine.
We must do all we can to stop the war through negotiations and dialogue, and the new government must help Italians to pay energy bills. We are on our knees.
We are confident that the new government will do good. Its biggest challenge will be easing the impact of soaring energy bills on Italians.
Meloni is expected to lay out her political priorities next week when she faces confidence votes at the parliament that will confirm or not that she holds a majority. Max Civili, Rome.
A refugee camp somewhere in the Luhansk region of Donbass. The civilians here are Russian speakers who fled recent Ukrainian advances not far to the west.
Now, the people here won't speak to me on camera. They are simply too scared. I've also been told not to give the exact location of this site or even the town that we're in fear that the Ukrainians might target the centre with artillery strikes.
This woman, sobbing into her hands, tells me she has family in Ukrainian territory. They also tell me that they are scared to be put on Telegram channels like this, called Collaborators of Luhansk. It posts the photos and details of anyone accused of working with the Russians. It includes teachers and nurses. Along the battle lines, pro-Ukrainians generally flee west, pro-Russians flee east. The ethnic boundaries of this once mixed country are being defined more clearly.
While this is a proxy war between Russia and NATO, it is also, at its root, a civil war between Ukrainian nationalists and its Russian-speaking minority, who are mainly situated in the east and the south of the country. The fact of the matter is, there is a strong likelihood, even a probability, that if Ukraine was to ever take back these four regions, there would be ethnic cleansing of the Russian-speaking population. The people here in Donbass say that this attempted ethnic cleansing by the Ukrainian army has been going on for the last 8 years.
While Russia and NATO continue to pursue their objectives on the battlefield, there is increasingly a peace to be made and new borders drawn if the views of the people living here were listened to. Johnny Miller, Donbass.
People from all walks of life rallied in the Gaza Strip following the Friday prayer in solidarity with Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque. Protesters shouted slogans decrying the Israeli crimes in Al-Quds and in the occupied West Bank. In recent days, extremist Jewish settlers, backed by Israeli forces, have been violating the sanctity of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Al-Quds. Israeli attacks usually increase during Jewish holidays. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, which organized the rally, warned the Tel Aviv regime against crossing the red lines at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Armed resistance is the only choice for Palestinians to fight the occupation. The Zionist enemy is playing with fire by attacking Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Palestinian resistance in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds is growing stronger. The Zionists are adding fuel to the fire and it may only burn them.
Protesters in the Gaza Strip vowed to step up their support for Al-Quds until the end of all the Israeli violations in the Holy City. They also reiterated their adherence to resistance as the best way to defend Al-Quds.
We call on all Muslims to defend Al-Aqsa Mosque because it belongs to all Muslims. We call on our brothers and sisters in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds to increase armed resistance against the Zionist enemy. The whole world must understand that we are willing to sacrifice our lives for the sake of the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Al-Aqsa Mosque is Islam's third holiest site and has been under Israeli occupation since 1967, while Palestinians consider Al-Quds as the capital of their future state.
We are here today to condemn the continued Israeli attacks against our people in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. The Palestinians are fighting for a just cause, and they will continue to fight until they regain their freedom.
Palestinians maintain that continued Israeli infringements upon Al-Aqsa Mosque will only increase the resistance against the occupation.
Observers say the international community has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds while turning a blind eye to Israeli violations against them for decades. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
It's been just a few weeks since the now resigned Prime Minister, Liz Truss, promised low taxes and high growth. Events have moved incredibly fast in Westminster, that a new finance minister is now raising taxes and promising public sector cuts. The U-turns and counter-U-turns have come with a cost for the economy and the people. A new study has found that millions of households are skipping meals or struggling to put healthy foods on the table. Inflation is already at more than 10%. Energy and fuel prices are on the rise, putting a squeeze on Britain's finances.
Well, the start of all this is Brexit. Brexit led to Boris and incompetence. It led to falling living standards. It led to Liz Truss and further incompetence. And Britain basically voted to become poorer by leaving the EU. You can blame some of it on money printing at the Bank of England, inflation taking out, you know, and lowering living standards as well. So it's a combination of things.
A combination of things that have toppled two prime ministers in the span of 1 year.
It's been less than 2 months since Boris Johnson gave way to Liz Truss as prime minister, followed by the death of the Queen and a dramatic change in the country's economic outlook. And now, yet another leadership contest that could trigger even more economic and political instability.
And more instability means more people relying on charities, from food banks to keep their stomachs full, and warm rooms where those unable to heat their homes can take refuge in the cold months of winter. The new chancellor has curbed Liz Truss's flagship economic plan of a 2-year cap on energy bills to April next year. And at the end of this month, he's expected to announce a midterm economic policy that could spell out the beginning of another prolonged period of austerity.
Whoever takes over, Boris, Rishi, Mordaunt, who knows? But the outlook continues to be bad because inflation is still out of control. There's not the money or the government finances to give the public sector further wage rises to match that inflation. Strikes will continue. The fiscal position of the country remains dire, partly because we have a smaller economy because of Brexit. So there's no easy solution. There's no easy way out of this. The hole has been dug and it's very deep and very difficult to climb out of.
Paying the price of that, ordinary Britons, as the Conservative Party races to choose its third leader and prime minister in 1 year, urgent help to those in need couldn't come any sooner. Saeed Pourreza, London.
Music. EU leaders at a summit in Brussels agreed China is becoming too assertive. It's the same phrase they have been using for years with respect to Russia. Iran was also in their sights. New restrictive measures against Tehran were rubber stamped.
Sanctions have been taken against those who are participating in the repression of peaceful demonstrations. And this, of course, is linked to the support of Russia against Ukraine.
Analysts say the allegations against Iran are spurious and they are being vehemently contested. It's pointed out that the bloc sometimes ignores clear international law violations, even when there's zero ambiguity. For example, those perpetrated by Israel against Palestinians. The US is said to have even greater influence over the EU as the bloc moves to try and isolate Moscow and Beijing. It's suggested that has been Washington's plan all along.
Europe, they are totally dependent on the United States and in energy field and in military field. And that is dependency that doesn't allow them to conduct independent foreign policies.
Sanctions against Russia over the war in Ukraine have driven energy costs to unmanageable levels. A complex package has been agreed in principle by EU leaders to try and lower prices and demand.
There's a lot of work now ahead of us what the energy is concerned, but the roadmap is very clear. And it was good to have this unanimity, this broad support for the roadmap that we have put forward.
Leaders admit the energy package is very complex and will take up to 3 weeks to try and finalise. Will this summit deliver positive results for EU citizens? It's a crucial question for millions of households and businesses, but also a vital political question for the bloc's leaders. Extreme left and extreme right anti-EU parties are waiting in the wings. Ignoring massive corruption findings by their own financial watchdog, EU leaders have agreed to provide €18 billion to the Ukrainian government in 2023. But that's nothing compared to what they will spend on lethal weapons for the country's army. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A draft law aiming to punish anyone caught wearing a full face covering has been proposed in Switzerland. If passed, Muslim women caught wearing a niqab or a burqa could be fined up to $1,000. A far-right proposal to totally ban facial coverings in public has already become law, winning a narrow victory in a referendum in 2021.
The ban was pushed by the Swiss People's Party, with one of its parliamentarians arguing that the ban would promote equality between men and women and would also help to fight back against so-called Islamic radicalisation.
Muslim organisations have expressed concern over rising Islamophobia in Switzerland and condemned the move as hypocritical.
So the Swiss cabinet says that this general ban on face covering is about the safety and safeguarding of citizens. But why not make an exemption for the niqab? I mean, it's not like there's a crime spree of niqabis across the country. That's just ridiculous. And, you know, jokes aside, what is going on here with vilifying a well-known symbol of the Muslim faith is that Muslims would then, as a community, be seen as divisive and criminally minded if we so much as speak up in support of the niqab.
Laws which negatively affect Muslim women are springing up across Europe. France banned wearing full-face veils in public in 2011, whilst Denmark, Austria, the Netherlands and Bulgaria have full or partial bans on wearing face coverings. Muslims make up only around 5% of the Swiss population. Yet, how Muslim women choose to dress remains a major obsession of right-wing lawmakers. Robert Carter, London.
Another Palestinian young man seen by many as a hero and an icon has been killed by Israeli forces during a confrontation in the occupied West Bank. For more than 10 days, the regime's forces had been carrying out a manhunt for Uday Tamimi after he shot at an Israeli military checkpoint at the entrance to his hometown, the Shafat refugee camp in Al-Quds. On Wednesday night, he was gunned down during clashes with Israeli forces at the entrance of an illegal settlement in eastern Al-Quds called Ma'ale Adumim. Hearing a call from Palestinian factions, a general strike has been held in Al-Quds and throughout the occupied West Bank to mourn at Tamimi. The walkout affected all public institutions and private sectors, including schools and businesses. Public transportation was also shut down during the strike.
The general strike prevailing today in the occupied territories is a political message that the Palestinian people are standing behind the resistance option and to assert that they are following the footprints of the martyrs until victory and freedom. It's a message that the Palestinian people will not stand with their hands cuffed in front of the Israeli crimes and that they have the right to resist the occupiers.
Palestinian resistance factions have also urged Palestinians to take to the streets to denounce At-Tamimi's killing and the aggression by the Israeli regime. Sporadic protests also erupted in several areas of the West Bank. Protesters said they would offer as many martyrs for the sake of Palestine's freedom while fighting the Israeli occupation. They added that more action is required to respond to Israeli atrocities.
We are united as Palestinian people. We continue to prove that we have strength to sacrifice our souls. We are ready to go to direct confrontations to resist the Israeli forces. We stand united behind the resistance, behind the confrontations, behind the martyrs.
Israel's escalating repression during the last month is part of a larger operation to quell the growing Palestinian resistance, particularly armed resistance. Recently, many Palestinian youths are drawn to this kind of resistance, with the newly formed group of fighters known as the Lion's Den as an example. Many might question whether a new uprising against Israel is in the making here in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. While the Israeli military is escalating its crackdown against Palestinians and using excessive force to counter the Palestinian resistance, it's obvious that Tel Aviv fears a renewed surge in anti-Israeli operations, especially after a rise in armed attacks against the Israeli regime. Mona Qandil, Occupied Al-Bira.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Over 220 organizations have called on the U.S. government to ground F-35 fighter jet program. Campaigners believe that the program is a complete waste of taxpayer dollars that causes harm abroad and at home. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Common Dreams wrote, prominent anti-war voices including Media Benjamin, Noam Chomsky, Abby Martin, and Roger Waters joined over 220 groups around the world in calling for the cancellation of Lockheed Martin's $1.7 trillion F-35 fighter plane program. The women-led peace group Code Pink is spearheading an international effort to urge Joe Biden and members of the U.S. Congress to cancel the manufacturing and training of the F-35 fighter jet, which has been docked by serious technical and operational problems since it first flew in 2006. I joined over 200 organizations from around the world in calling on the U.S. government to end the disastrous F-35 fighter jet program, because as a global community, we need to drastically change our priorities, Waters, co-founder of iconic Pink Floyd, said in a statement. He added, to the people in the countries the F-35 is sold to and produced in, it's time we demand a reinvestment into life, not war. In a letter to Biden and U.S. lawmakers signed by nearly 230 groups, Code Pink said its cancellation demand is based on the harm caused abroad, cost of the program to the taxpayer, inefficiencies and failures, the environmental impact of F-35s, and the effects training has on local communities. Some of those communities are in Vermont, where, despite railing against the military-industrial complex during his two presidential runs, Senator Bernie Sanders supports the F-35 program. Currently, F-35 training in Vermont disrupts the lives of working-class people, the letter states. The training is irregular, and Vermonters go without warning of when these trainings will take place. The noise caused by the F-35 hits 115 decibels, which especially hurts and injures infants and children, the elderly, and the disabled. The F-35 has 300 to 600 takeoffs and landings a month. Ben Cohen, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and a Vermont resident, said that the global community is fed up with overpriced, underperforming weapon systems like the F-35. It's a complete waste of taxpayer dollars that causes harm abroad and at home in Vermont. The only people this project benefits are the executives at Lockheed Martin, Cohen added. Real security is knowing you can see a doctor when you're sick, not a boondoggle fighter jet that can fly near thunderstorms. That's just one of the many problems plaguing the F-35. The warplane's exorbitant cost has also raised critics' eyebrows and ire. According to the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, the F-35 price per unit, including ancillary costs like depot maintenance, ground support equipment, and spare parts, is $110.3 million per F-35A, $135.8 million per F-35B, and $117.3 million per F-35C. Those totals do not include the nearly $1.3 trillion in life cycle cost to operate and sustain the aircraft over its 66-year life cycle, making it the most expensive weapon systems in the U.S. history. Ashik Sadiq, a research analyst for the National Priorities Project at the Institute for Policy Studies, recently noted that canceling all U.S. student loan debt would cost about $1.75 trillion, or about the same amount as the total cost of the F-35 program. Department of Education data shows that amount is also enough to eliminate all tuition at U.S. public colleges for more than 20 years. According to the Children Defend Fund, the projected cost of the program would also be enough to reduce child poverty in the United States of America by more than 60% for the next two decades. The F-35 program is a microcosm of the military-industrial complex. Each year, the U.S. government funnels massive amounts of money into the program while letting places in the U.S. go without clean water for the month or years, said Code Pink National Co-Director Donaka Katowicz, adding, sustaining this program for any longer will have detrimental effects on human life and the Earth. The website of Morningstar wrote, the latest new piece of U.S. military hardware is estimated to be costing around $1.7 trillion, although costs are likely to increase significantly, according to campaigners. Code Pink said, in a time of economic uncertainty, climate crisis, and the necessity for peace and stability for people and planet, over 220 organizations have joined together in an international campaign to end the United States F-35 program. As the intention of the U.S. is to sell the fighters across the globe, campaign organizations from the United States, Britain, Canada, Mexico, Paraguay, Germany, Spain, Kenya, and Switzerland have signed up in support of the campaign. Ruth Rode, a board member at the Arms Information Center in Germany, said, Germany is looking to buy the F-35 to carry U.S. nuclear weapons stationed here. Not only is this going to be a large, unnecessary financial burden, but also sustains the disastrous, indefensible threat of nuclear war on and from German soil. An International Day of Action is being planned for 2023 to stop Biden, including the spend for the F-35 program, in his next defense budget.
Start. Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islam my deen.
Islam my deen.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world, you are listening to my voice from Youth Station, and this is RRB English Radio. We are here to talk about something really interesting.
Inshallah.
And here with me, I have a dear co-host.
Assalamu alaikum.
Mahdi.
Thank you. Thank you for remembering me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. my dear brother. So it's somehow the same old story of every time here, but I think it's still interesting to talk about the nature and nurture and the paradoxical content between these two.
I think you've got a medical background, so you're like just, you know, throwing out those words, you know, like, come on, man, speak English.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was that much annoying.
You just mentioned a few words, and I'm confused. So could you, like, tell me more about the definition
You know what? Who you are is determined by many factors in this world.
Okay.
But two main factors
who
are...
Am I? Who I am is determined by many factors in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. But two... Okay. The two most important factors are gene and the situation and environment you are growing in.
Okay. Okay.
And today...
In terms of what, my career?
Not only your career, but mostly your career, because somehow your career is your life. You know, your career is the way you live and the way you act, the way you think about professional things. And okay. I think career is something really important in life.
Yeah, it is an important part of your life, yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just, you're saying that what you inherit in your blood, like your genes...
Yeah, something like that.
...is something that determines your future in terms of course,
no,
your future,
no,
but like
I do not agree myself with that point of view. I think there is a combination of these two that will make you what you are. But,
what
two? You know, I mean, there is a balanced combination of gene and situation that will determine
the environment
what
that you grew
are.
Up in?
In who you are.
Okay, yeah.
But I want to just know your mindset about this topic. Which one is more important?
More important. As far as we've seen certain people who are physically fit, who are mentally fit, smart, were prodigies in their times, and their children, right? The parents, both of them, father and mother.
Are normal.
Were prodigies, right? And the children came out to be plain dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Nice one. Yeah, right? I saw that.
There were numerous examples. So extracting from not just this one example, but numerous other examples, I'd say that whereas it is a very vital role that genes play in your life, but yeah, the environment, and once you've started observing the places around you, the your environment, everything. After that, the way you were, where you were, whom you'd hang out with, how you were raised, how you were interacted with. Yeah, these things are something which have a major and a greater role in developing
so
your
you mean situation and environment is more important or something like that?
Yeah. That's something.
You know what? I didn't like something about your speaking, and it was you were just looking at genes like something so easy, like it's about your parents, but it's not about your parents. It's about generations before you.
Right.
You know what? And can I just tell that? Okay, because, for example, there were a dumb person that his parents were, for example,
so like,
prodigies or something.
Yeah, but like, so you mean like his granddad could be dumb and he's like his granddad.
It could be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just telling that.
See?
No. I'm not the supporter of the genes or something. I'm the supporter of this idea that there is a balanced combination of these two.
Right.
But this word balance doesn't mean equal. You know what? For example, there are differences even between me and you. For example, maybe you were 50-50. And I mean, the effect of these two were 50-50. But about me, it was 30-70. You know what?
What was 30-70?
The effect of these two factors,
okay.
For example.
Okay. You think...
Yeah, I mean, this is the meaning of balanced combination that I'm talking about.
Not balanced. 70-30 is not balance.
It is.
How is that balanced? 50-50 is balanced.
No, it's equal. There is a difference between these two words.
Balance and equality. Come on, you're throwing in equality.
No. I'm not going to go through this topic at all. I hate it.
Oh.
But I'm going to tell you that, okay, by balance, I mean, again, this situation, we choose the percentage of the effect, you know what? And
okay.
I'm going to tell you that, okay, I do agree with the point that the root of who you are is environment somehow.
Okay. Right, but, okay, me as a person, right? Okay, I think I'm going to get into a complicated, like, philosophical discussion now. So hold your breath. We're going to go for a break.
Yeah, I do agree with that one. So
Come on. Sorry. You open the show.
Yeah, I am the host. So dear listeners, I think we're going to go for a break. Then we're going to come back and talk about this beautiful topic more.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are here talking about the same old story of genes and environment, about who you are.
Right, so, okay, I'm going to throw in a question. I'm sure that there are people around, our listeners also, there are certain people who've got a background in medicine or medical studies. As you have, do I choose my genes? Right, I don't. Is there any way for me to, in any manner, choose or amplify certain things in my genes that I have?
Actually, in scientific areas, there are ways to change genes. You know,
change
them. Yeah,
once you've been born.
Yeah, once you're
like after
born,
birth, I can choose my genes now. Like I can become a Viking or something, right?
No, not in that way. Actually, we're gonna go through this because of some medical diseases. You know, for changing these genetical diseases, we're gonna go through this area that we want to change genes. But you know, always humans are curious about something else. We are gonna go through this project for diseases, and they're gonna go for something interesting. For example, changing the color of your eye, or some fantasy. Or something.
No, but
like
that's not going to happen.
That will happen.
Okay, explain to me.
I don't want to make this conversation that much professional about this matter.
No. Just the fact that you said some people can scientists can change genes. It means like that. Does that mean once I've been born, I can change it?
Yes. It means that
like I can change the color of my eyes after I've been born.
Yes, you can replace...
Like, naturally?
Yeah, naturally. They are searching about these things, but...
I want to get golden eyes.
But, you know, I think this is not a matter, because always we're going to go through something that we shouldn't. Because here we're going to talk about diseases, and they're like, okay, we're going to change the color of your hair. It's more beautiful. No, science is here to help you, not to just change you in a way you
want.
Yeah,
but, like, changing my hair to golden might help me, man.
But the thing is, actually, you cannot choose your genes, but you cannot even choose your environment whenever you're born.
That's where you're headed. Okay, yeah. I get you. Okay. Now I know. I get why you were like softening up the sand and like trying to construct it. All right. So that's what you mean. Like you might be able to change. Okay. All right. I might. Okay. You said you might be able to
dead
change.
End.
You might be able to change your genes, but not the environment. Is that what you said?
No, at all.
Okay.
After you grow older, you can change your environment. Actually,
okay, the way you want.
Even we have many verses in Quran that tells you if you're not satisfied with where you are, you have to immigrate.
Right. No, it's funny that you talk about. It's not funny, but like it's. You know what I mean, listeners? Come on, man. Yeah, that you talk about the Quran, right? It is Allah's doing, isn't it? Me having a certain gene, right? Okay. Fair enough, my granddad or my great-granddad chose my great-grandmum or my great-grandmum chose my great-granddad, whatever it was, that had an involvement. But now I am in a situation because of their choices, right? Had nothing to do with me. Now, I have a tendency, because Mr. X, his dad was a thief, right? And his granddad was a thief, and his aunt was a thief, and his great-great-great-granddad was a thief, right?
Okay.
And now this guy, he wants to steal all the time. He wants to be a thief, you understand what I'm saying?
Even there is a desire to be a thief in that person?
Yeah, because like he, right, yeah,
I can't
man.
Understand it.
Yeah,
it's
isn't
not
that
logical.
Genetic, like, to be a thief?
Human, because of their grandparents and grandparents, you know, they were a thief. There is a desire in that person.
Yeah.
And it is just inheriting through the genes.
I have no idea.
This is not rational.
No, no. Why not? No, not genes, but he's been grown up seeing that. Like, he saw his granddad being a thief. He saw his coming back to the environment,
right? Maybe he didn't see his grandparents or something that you were telling me that, okay. Only the parents here, I think.
Right, so it was Mr. X, like, not me.
Okay.
But
Mr. X here is not a thief. So, I mean, what is...
No, I'm saying, what's his fault?
Or is a thief?
No. This kid, mm-hmm. right... He has this intrinsic desire to steal because of
his
parents. You know, like, whatever the reason,
so
right?
So it's environment.
It is environment. Not, yeah. No, but like, is it, for example, aren't certain tendencies transferred through mm-hmm. your genes? Like, stealing.
You know what? I think your explanation of environment and genes are somewhat different with me, and this is the problem that we have together in this discussion. You know what? You were telling me that their grandparents were parents and was like that, and you were telling me it's not environment. What does that mean?
No, I'm not saying it's not environment. I'm saying, is it that kid's fault, though?
You know,
that's my problem. It's not about, like, was it genetic or environmental. But then that kid is now there. He's in that situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he is.
Now, is it his fault?
I cannot change it, even.
At that stage, no. Maybe, like, 10 years
Maybe
later, 20
later,
years
yeah,
later.
Yeah,
but right now, is that his fault? Like, God has put him, Allah has put him in that family.
Maybe
right?
This is an examination, you know. So you were telling me that the situation of that four-year-old kid was somehow difficult, that, for example, a four-year-old kid cannot decide what to do, what not to do, and to steal something and how to handle this desire to steal things, you know.
Mm.
But the thing I want to tell you that at last, no matter in what age, there is a day that you will become mature. And when you become mature, you can decide. And this decision comes from your mind. So first of all, you have to find your guidelines. You have to find the way you're going to live in this world. And then according to the guidelines you have, especially religious guidelines, you know what? Especially
interesting. Imam Ali alayhi salam is mm-hmm. very famous. I'm sure people have heard before that he says, learn your religion rather than
exactly
inheriting.
Right.
So like even that actually is true for your lifestyle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because religion means lifestyle, I think, most of the time.
It's lifestyle, yeah. So rather than having that certain lifestyle, way of life that your parents, your granddad, or your childhood was, right?
Yeah.
Learning it is the key,
is the more important, is more important than the other parts. And I'm going to tell you that, dear listeners, no matter who you are, no matter where you were born, no matter which parents you had and whatever their IQ, their, career or something, you are the one who would choose to be whatever you want to be. And you have the ability to change the world. So first change yourself in a way you want.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm just telling you that first you have to grow your brain. We've talked about the same old story of genes and situation, and we came to this conclusion that no matter which genes you have or what kind of situation you were born in, you can change it and you can be the one you have to be in this world. Do you agree with me?
Take control.
Exactly. Take control of your life. And you are the writer and the author of the story of your life. Just write it in a way you have to write. So I wish you've enjoyed the conversation of today.
In all truth, my coffee's getting cold, so I want to finish it. Please join us next time when my coffee's hotter.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.